Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Well, it's 1 week to Christmas, and what lots of people, including myself, we've been doing this week is tuning in to all of those amazing Christmas-related films on screens, big and small, and to have a little look ahead. I'm joined by Michael Doherty, RTE Guide movie editor, and Zara Hederman, freelance music journalist. Welcome to you both. Now, I know you've both been checking out the Naughty But Nice season of festive films at the Lighthouse Cinema, and I know they all kind of kickstart tomorrow. Michael, what are you looking forward to this Christmas?
Yeah, what's interesting about it is that it's a real, you expect when you see a Christmas selection of films, it's going to be Willy Wonka and Elf and It's a Wonderful Life. And yes, they are all on.
I can't talk down Elf. I'm not talking about Elf.
No, they're all good, but that's what you expect. You expect it to only be those. Yeah. But in fact, what's interesting about this list, I suppose maybe it's because maybe it's the naughty part of it, that you also get Boogie Nights, you get Eyes Wide Shut, you get films that are sort of set in
Eyes
and around
Wide
Christmas.
Shut?
Yeah, which is sort of a curious choice. But you also get Fanny and Alexander, Bergman's classic movie, which I would recommend anybody to see. Now, it's long, it's 3 hours plus, but and that's the beauty of it, that you get the naughty and you get the nice.
And the Die Hard always in there as well, and just do they have to be like Christmas or even just Christmas adjacent? Is that what gets them?
Well, I think adjacent is the key, because I mean you'll get a lot of problems. People will be hounding me now when I say this, but I mean Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie.
Stop! You're going to get
yeah. But it is a movie that has a Christmas, you know, it's a Christmas party, and you know, I have a machine gun, ho ho ho, and it's all that sort of thing, and there's a bit of a Christmas background, but it's not Me Being St.
I'm
Louis.
Just anticipating, Zara, the raft of emails in saying it is a Christmas movie for you. You say Christmas doesn't begin until you've seen your favourite film.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's my favourite way to get into the Christmas spirit, because I think as well we project our idea of Christmas from the films that we've seen. So like It's a Wonderful Life, that would be one of my favourites. The Muppets Christmas Carol as well has
Brilliant.
A very special spot in my heart. And I do love going to the Lighthouse every Christmas to go and see one of those films. And like I saw Die Hard for the first time during that season, so it's great to see that on the big screen.
Is it a Christmas film?
I mean, just have the Christmas party and then he's in the vent for most of it.
That wasn't the question, was it?
Yeah. So when you say that your Christmas kind doesn't start, what do you look at? Is it to make me laugh, to cry? Is it to get? Is it that? Is that
just
emotional
the heartwarming
thing?
Feeling? Yeah, and just to see snow and a Christmas tree, because then I get a bit envious and I want a Christmas tree in my house, so I get all the decorations out. So it gives me the motivation to get festive.
Yeah. For you, Michael, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Not a kid's Christmas movie, but it's...
Certainly not. I mean, it's funny. I suppose a lot of the fairy tales as well, they're grim with a small G and a big G.
Yeah.
But this one is interesting. It's like Del Toro, who's one of the great directors, has been trying to make this one for years. It's beautiful stop motion. It actually is. It's a movie about fascism, death, and fatherhood, which doesn't sound terribly festive, but yet it's just a wonderful, it is a wonderful movie which I'd recommend to anybody.
With an extraordinary cast.
Yeah, lovely, a wonderful voice cast, but it's actually the making of it, because it's old fashioned at a period of when we have a lot of CGI animation, and which doesn't look great. I mean, this is the old fashioned, and it's proper stop motion. It's not, sometimes you get a CGI stop motion, although the character of Pinocchio is a sort of a CGI stop motion. Every other character is that old fashioned where they move one bit, click.
And where can we see it? Is that...
Well, it'll be on in the IFI. And it's on Netflix as well.
Yeah,
so you get a chance to see it. And in addition to that, if you get a chance, there's also a making of documentary. It's a separate piece on Netflix. It's about half an hour long and it's fascinating.
You've seen it, Sarah?
I have, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really fascinating. And what I really like about Guillermo del Toro's work as well, especially with Pan's Labyrinth, he has such an amazing way of melding fairy tale with horror. And as Michael said, you know, we have the fascism backdrop with this. Mussolini is a character in it as well. And, you know, it does cater a lot to the adults, because it is 117 minutes long. And I was really curious to see how his adaptation would work. And Pinocchio is a film that so many directors have wanted to remake. Like Robert Zemeckis also did an adaptation of it. And I did really appreciate it. And I do think children will like it because of the visual aspect to it. It reminded me of, say, when I saw Nightmare Before Christmas for the first time, because it's not animation, it's not CGI, and it's not real life people. So it's this other kind of visualization of characters that's just so great for the imagination. So definitely one to watch.
And so many, like, I mean, so many people, Cate Blanchett, Tilda Swinton, David Bradley, you know, Ewan McGregor's absolutely brilliant. Michael, it doesn't come out, I think, until later this week, but Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's like Jack Ryan has been played on screen, on the big screen before, by a lot of sort of, you could say, macho actors, Alec Baldwin and Chris Pine and Ben Affleck. This is John Krasinski, and he's a much more of a thinking man's, leading man. And I think that that's interesting about the story as well. It isn't just your typical macho white saviors type of guy. This is a geopolitical story where they actually care about the politics of it as well. Mm. So it isn't just America's great and this guy's going to go in and save everything. He's a thinking man's analyst. And also, and they spend a lot of time in the plot lines working out, well, why were these people radicalized? Mm. Why is this happening? It's not just we are right and these guys are, you know, the baddies and we're after the baddies, which it was very much the case in the movies. I think Krasinski was a great choice of leading actor. This is season three, and it's been a terrific series, and I'm looking forward to seeing the third part of it again.
Sorry, long before it became famous, I used to go for lunch quite often in the restaurant that features in Emily in Paris. And of course, I was there recently, and they're just tortured. The street where the apartment is, where the restaurant is, and it has now become this kind of eclectic tourist attraction in the Latin Quarter in Paris, where everybody's coming and they're just taking snaps and taking pictures of this. But it's coming back season three. I have to say, I'm so excited.
Well, I have secondhand starstruckness from you just even revealing that, because I actually avoided Emily in Paris when it came out initially in October 2020, which is kind of mad because it was just peak prime COVID lockdown watching. And I did try and watch it initially a couple of months ago and I just couldn't do it. And then I sat down this week and I just couldn't stop. I got the two seasons done in two sittings, which not the best thing to admit. But as you said, Paris looks stunning on this show. The character of Emily is kind of ridiculous. She's not the most likable, but
I could not afford her wardrobe on her salary.
Absolutely not. And of course, we should say, you know, that comes from Darren Star, who gave us Sex in the City, Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place. So this great sense of like style, drama, like love triangles. But I actually really loved the work dynamic in this show.
And some great French actors in it.
Like, really great.
I mean, France seems to have finally embraced Emily in Paris, but I was just so excited to learn that it has now secured a fourth season.
Like, I've literally only finished season two the other day. I'm dying for season three, which comes on Wednesday. And when I saw season four was coming, I was just giddy. I was like, all my Christmases have come at once.
Yeah, if you're struggling to contact me on Wednesday, it may or may not be because I'm sitting binge watching all of that. Michael, Christmas is about weepy movies as well. What's your big one this year?
Well, I mean, I always like, even I love, as I said, Meet Me in St. Louis. That's just a wonderful, wonderful weepy. But there are wonderful movies coming up even on network TV next week. I mean, Casablanca's back on. Like, we're coming up to the 80th anniversary of Casablanca. And it's just, you just can't.
80th.
Wow. You just can't look beyond it. It has everything you want from a weepy movie, but also it has the drama, the politics, the intrigue, everything. It's just a fabulous, fabulous
and
movie.
And The Doghouse at Christmas.
Yeah, this isn't a movie. This is obviously, this is a TV series. And it's my, well, up until this moment, it's been my secret guilty pleasure, which obviously in national radio it's not anymore, but it's like first dates for people and their prospective pooches, and it's just wonderful. It just it does warm the cockles, because you get, it's supposed to be about the dogs, but really it's about healing people. And this one, apparently for the Christmas special, we're promised, I mean, be still in my heart, a three-legged German shepherd. So if you have tears, prepare to shed them.
Humans
now.
Being saved by doggos, absolutely. Yeah. We get ready for that. As expected, Derville, Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas movie, since the primary plot driver is Bruce Willis's desire to be reunited with his family for Christmas. So that's me told. There we go. We are told about that. Sarah, it's often Paul McCartney's fashion designer daughter that we hear about, but there's a music documentary directed by Mary McCartney, which is looking at the history of Abbey Road.
Yeah, this is really interesting. It's her documentary debut, and of course this is a very personal documentary subject for her. She says in it that some of her earliest memories as a child come from being in Abbey Road, and of course that's when her father was making albums with the Beatles. But when you look at Abbey Road's history, it's just fascinating to see the list of albums that were recorded there, and how today, like, artists still will flock from all over the world at
so
all
lucky
points
to have
of their
been
career.
There. Yeah. It is just a magic place.
Because you look at the list, like, you have everything from Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, Radiohead's The Bends and OK Computer, the list of people who've been there, Connie Francis, Ronnie Spector, Lady Gaga. So this is really interesting, because you
so
do get
an in-depth.
So it's
a bit like a pilgrimage for her. Going back.
Yeah, you get like this insight into the studios, and also just like the history of it then into the 80s when I got into like doing cinema scores with John Williams. There's contributions.
Like, everything has been recorded there.
Like, it's the list on Wikipedia is, it will take you about an hour to get through it. Yeah. Like, but there's contributions from obviously Sir Paul McCartney, Elton John, John Williams, David Gilmour, Jimmy Page. So really fascinating, and for music lovers and anyone who just kind of has a vague interest in it, it's very good.
No, I'll definitely tune into that. Michael, before before we go, could you do a quick list of films that will be on TV for me?
Yeah, I mentioned Casablanca, so BBC Two next Thursday. Also, a film that everyone's talking about, which is The Banshees of Inisherin, which has just been nominated. It's up for 8 Golden Globes. That's from next Wednesday. That'll be on Disney Plus, and really, really not to be missed. And just on TG Car next Friday, the 23rd, they're showing, if you're a big fan of Tarantino, and by the way, if you're a movie fan, get his book. That he has. His book should be required reading. Django Unchained is on next Friday, which is a terrific, terrific movie.
And finally, from both of you, I know, Michael, you've watched every single match of the World Cup final. Are you going to be looking at the big screen today?
I certainly shall. Yeah, I'll be waving. Yeah. As with Emily in Paris, you have your French thing. With football, that's my thought. Killian in Doha is my version.
Killian, not Messi. There we go. Yeah. There we go. Well, you may not go to Foxford because they're all rooting for him down in May.